Live from Radio Row in New Orleans, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
That was strong. That's got to be post-show video. Intense drums, corn on the cob take, and paper towels. And Danny Smythe, who's on the set here with us. This hour is brought to you by Battle Worn Injury Lawyers, 766-1400, the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Number, Danny reminded me I could actually not only use this slice of paper towel, reuse it, I could wash it and keep using it.
No, you can't.
Yep.
Also, I did find it at less than a dollar a roll.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's quite a pitch for this company. Huh? Very nice. Gerald McCoy, former Raider, short-lived, but great NFL player. He's not playing anymore. He's not doing a podcast with Kyle Van Noy up on Yahoo. He joined us just a little while ago, and JVT found out that McCoy is, I'm not going to call him a nerd because he's a big guy, but he's very much into Marvel, and was asking him right out of the gates about the Fantastic Four trailer.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because I'm a nerd, and they stayed true to the original way of the Fantastic Four. It's not current. It's not a 2025 movie. It's set in the 60s.
Yeah.
And people forget that's where the Fantastic Four originated. So I love that. I don't know how I feel about Ben Grimm's voice.
It's not gravelly?
But it, not at all. He sounds like me and you.
Okay.
Yeah. It sounds like they just, he's the thing.
Yeah.
With a regular voice. Like his name is Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find this interesting. You say you're a nerd. I look like a nerd, but I'm not into like nerd culture stuff. I don't get it. I see you got the Batman, obviously, for, you know, the logo, very familiar with you, but you also got the Joker shirt. Can we do this? Is this like wearing like Cowboys and Redskins?
I got a Joker phone too.
They battle, right?
Yeah. I mean, not necessarily, man. I'm unapologetically me, and that's it, man. You don't have to be, you know, a tough, evil guy to play defensive line in the league, man. You can like comic books and Jesus and still play football, you know?
Well, I mean, the reason why I brought it up, too, is it goes way over his head. He's got nothing.
Yeah,
he's got a rule that if it can't happen in real life,
I don't watch it.
Right.
Batman can be in real life.
Yeah, he doesn't have powers, right?
He doesn't have any superpowers. He's just a rich and skilled fighter.
That's true.
A detective. That can be anybody. Iron Man could be anybody.
Yeah.
Iron Man don't have powers. So.
I did see Joker was very good.
Yeah,
I saw that.
That's what I'm saying. That could be anybody.
Yeah.
So, hey.
That's fair.
Just saying.
So,
it can happen.
See? You got to get into this.
You're talking to me. I know. I might do it now.
All right. Gerald McCoy's with us again. So, let's talk about a couple things that happened in the league. I saw your other tweet here. They had a Stars edge rusher the other day request a trade.
Yeah.
Where do you think, who do you think should pick up the phone and maybe call about one Myles Garrett?
You know, I've been asked that multiple times, and I'm extremely biased towards the Bucks, so asking me that question is kind of obvious. I'm going to say the Bucks, but my unbiased Bucks opinion on getting Myles Garrett, they had their four leading sackers this year were three interior guys and a stand-up linebacker, middle linebacker, and Lavonte David. So clearly the edge rush is an issue in Tampa. They just lost to the Commanders in the playoffs. 2 weeks prior, they signed Shaq Barrett, who's been sitting at home all year. Mm-hmm. If they felt like their edge rushers were enough, they wouldn't have got a guy who's been at home all year to bolster the edge because they know what he's been able to do. Mm-hmm. So clearly that is an issue for the Bucks. Teams who are one piece away from crossing that threshold and actually going and winning a Super Bowl should do what's necessary to go get a guy like this, not just because of what he can do on the field, but because he's loyal to who he's around. When I parted ways with the Bucks, the first place I visited was the Cleveland Browns, and they asked him, hey, Gerald's coming in, all-pro defensive tackle, what would it be like to have you and him tandem, whatever? His response was, we good with what we got. Because he's loyal to who he's around.
Sure.
So if he publicly put out a statement about wanting to be traded, it's for a reason. Because he's never been a me guy. It's about me. He's done that once since he's been in the league, and it was this year, and it was targeted towards T.J. Watt when he was just basically proclaiming, I'm the guy. That has nothing to do with him. It was still in representation of his team. So you got a guy like that who's generational, and he's loyal to who he's around, your one or two first-round picks are 50-50. Mm. That's statistics. When you draft in the first round at 50-50, you don't know what they're going to be. Yep. Myles Garrett is 100-100.
Yep.
So we don't know what they're going to be. We know what he is. He's a last year's defensive player of the year and a finalist this year, and he's still young. He's worth it.
It's the voice of Gerald McCoy. Obviously a great player. We know what you did on the field. But how are you liking the media side of things now that you're kind of delving into this world?
Yeah, I love it, man. I have an understanding of being on this side from a player standpoint, and I can kind of do a mix of both. I have to do my job in the media, but I'm not that far removed from being a player. And I told myself if I ever crossed over, I'm never going to forget how I felt as a player. So when I criticize or analyze players or plays, I analyze the player and not the person. I analyze the play and not the people. And I try to remember how I felt when certain things were said. And it's tough to be honest and be critical without offending people. But sometimes you're going to offend a person with your what you say as an analyst. And but being able to articulate and stay close to the game by studying film, that's the part I love the most.
Got to ask you about this. We're in Vegas. You were with the Raiders for a little bit. Maybe one of the craziest football seasons many people can remember.
Yeah, it was
in 2021. As you kind of think back, what was it like to go through that as a player?
You know, because I had got injured, what I did is I wanted to still do my part for the team. So what I did is, in my part in that season, I would still do my – I break. When I played, I broke down every offensive lineman. Good, bad, where they from, who their family was, all of that. I still did that even when I wasn't playing, and I sent it to the coaches, and I sent it to Max and all these guys, and, hey, this is the breakdown of everybody I'm about to play. Every week I did this. But going back and being around a team, it was just like, these guys got to do it. They got to go do it, man. Rich Bisaccia, he coached me in Tampa, so when he took over, I knew who he was as a – leader of men and how he got people to buy in. But that was a crazy time, man. To be able to make the playoffs in that time was insane. But right now, man, they just put together a duo that is going to change life in Vegas, man. Pete Carroll is a dynamo. Pete Carroll recruited me in high school when he was at USC. And Pete Carroll, let me just tell you a little bit about Pete Carroll. Spytek was the assistant GM while I was in Tampa. Yeah. So I've been knowing him for a long time. He is incredible at what he does. Let me tell you about Pete Carroll. This is the type of guy Pete Carroll is. I was just over there interviewing with Brady Quinn. And I told him my very first college visit was the Bush Push game, where Reggie Bush pushed Matt Leinart in. They debuted the green jerseys in Notre Dame. Brady was like, don't bring that up. I'm like, well, I have to. You're sitting right here. Pete Carroll, I was going to visit USC the next week. At Notre Dame, when you walk up the ramp, the locker rooms are split like this. The recruits were standing outside of Notre Dame's locker room. I was visiting Notre Dame. Pete Carroll walked over to their locker room because he knew I was coming. I was the number one defensive player in the country at the time. He walked over to me and said, you seen what we just did, right? All right, I'll see you next week. When we went on the visit, this guy has so much control and star power. We were having brunch the Sunday after they had just blew somebody out. Reggie Bush was Reggie Bush and all this. He came in. Most coaches come in and sit down with the player and all this. Man, that dude came in with a boogie board and said, hey, I appreciate all y'all coming, but I hit the waves every Sunday. Fast forward to our home visit. I'm from Oklahoma. I've been black my whole life. My mama's black. This white man came in our house, took his shoes off, put his feet up on my mama's couch, which you don't do in no black woman's house, and took a nap. During our home visit, my mama said, if that white dude is willing to do that, that's a coach I would love for you to play for. And I'm sitting here like, man, that dude got so much confidence. Who goes to somebody else's house? Right. Black people in that... And put your feet up on their couch and take a nap while your coaches recruit the kid. But then you go look at what his teams are. They won a national championship. They went back to another national championship. One of the best teams in college football over his span. Then he gets to the league. They win the Super Bowl, go back to the Super Bowl. He puts together the Legion of Boom. He goes and grabs Michael Bennett, who was in Tampa with me, who a lot of people, he didn't get drafted. A lot of people said, maybe he had a good year, maybe he didn't. He goes and gets him. He's one of the best defensive players of his generation. This is what Pete Carroll's putting together. Wow. When the Legion of Boom broke up, they still stayed good. That's Pete Carroll. You know why? Because coaches, the definition of a coach is taking important people from where they are to where they want to be. And you have to know how to get a group of men to come together for one common cause and be a great leader of men. Look at all the people that have come underneath him. Look at what Dan Quinn just did, who was in Seattle with Washington. Look at what he did when he was with the Cowboys. Now he's in Washington doing the same thing. That's all under Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. This is who you got leading a team in Vegas, of all places. I don't think the fans understand who they just hired. And because I know Spytek, I know who the GM is.
Yeah.
You needed a guy to be able to handle Vegas. You got the right one.
Yeah. So, quick, can you explain a little bit about Spytek and what you know about him and what your expectations are for him?
He's highly intelligent. If you look at the reign of Jason Light over these last 5 years, bringing in Tom Brady, going to get Gronk. Obviously, Tom Brady had help with that. Leonard Fournette was written off. Brought in Leonard Fournette. Had the balls to go get AB, brought him in. Now you got all these people. You draft Antoine Winfield, okay? You go get Kalijah Kancey, who will be one of those guys at defensive tackle. He's going to get all these guys and putting piece in. He went and got Liam Cohen, brought him in. Now he's a head coach. He's got two head coaches as offensive coordinators.
Last 2 years.
Back-to-back years. These are who these people are hiring, the coaches they're bringing in. This is who he is. He can recognize talent, and he understands the game of football. He doesn't just go get names or guys because they, you know, like, look at Bucky Irvin.
Right.
Look at what Bucky Irvin was able to do. Nobody seen that coming, but they knew. And this is what he's been able to do, him and Jason Light. And this is why I say, man, this duo together is perfect. I text Max as soon as I seen who they hired. I said, oh, man. Y'all, this thing is gonna turn around. And if you notice recently, Max put out what? I will be a champion. He understands. I'm telling you, man, it's gonna happen.
It's great stuff. You told us kind of what your philosophy is in terms of media, but what do you want people to get from your show if they're tuning in?
Just basically what I just said, man. There's stories that we tell around the game that we can't tell on national TV. You know, in the uptight, wear a suit. They're going to win because third down, they do this and this. No, we're going to tell. How did y'all come up with that play? What was Bill Belichick thinking when this happened? Mm-hmm. We can tell those stories. We take the fans inside the locker room. We take the fans inside our homes. And we talk to them in a way to where they feel a part of the game. And we tell them stuff that they wouldn't usually hear any other way except from a player who's experienced it, a successful individual and a guy who's been successful with team. And that's what you get with McCoy and Van Noy.
You can find McCoy and Van Noy, Yahoo Sports, YouTube, all major podcast platforms. We appreciate it, Gerald. Thank you very much for the time.
Yeah, of course, man. I appreciate y'all. Thanks.
Thank you.
Awesome spot. Heartfelt thank you at the end there by Adam Hill. This part of the show is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. In the north, 775. A Southerners, right? I don't know why I'm doing Civil War impressions at this point. Getting punchy. Coming up, Sammy P in about 15 minutes on Super Bowl 59 props and futures.
Now back to Cofield and Company. Live from Radio Row in New Orleans on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Look for Cofield & Company on YouTube Shorts, ESPN Las Vegas on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We're posting stuff all over the place, and Griffin's doing a great job on the short videos, which are dynamite. Interviews will be up as well. So go to Best of Cofield & Company on lvsportsnetwork.com. Our interviews, audio form, are up there. So lots of social media. You can catch up with stuff that we've done on the air and off, because we're doing a lot of interviews that are just going to be web-only. So, again, check it out. Just search Best of Cofield & Company or lvsportsnetwork.com. We talked to the boss of the host committee here, Jay Cicero, a little earlier. and you've been very argumentative with several guests, because that's just the way you are. But there are times where I'm like, let's not have a knockdown drag out with, you know, Roman Gabriel III. I thought you were going to bite on Jay Cicero's pitching of the parade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, look, he's nice enough to come on here and talk about it.
Griffin, do you know about Adams? He and I battle over parades.
What are we talking? Best ones? Whether we like them or not?
Yep. It's simply, I love parades. And I love drums in parades. And he is just absolutely in denial, saying that I don't. I don't like things that I say I like.
Parades are one of the most idiotic things that have ever happened to society. Never been a good
one. In New Orleans, look up the second line, right? And they don't do as many parades as they used to do here. But, like, out of nowhere, there'll just be, like, that music right there. Like, the Saints come marching in, you just, like, you turn a corner, you're like, yay, there's drums and horns. Happy.
When would you ever listen to that song, like, driving in your car? Dun, 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 dun. Nobody's doing
that. That's so bad.
Nobody's doing that. It doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
Just because there's people walking or driving by in a float, you're supposed to enjoy that song now?
You know,
likes that song.
There used to be there was a band with a bunch of horns and even kids accompanying them playing the drums on the buckets.
Da, 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 da.
Yes.
So stupid.
Yes. Yes.
It's whimsical.
He's in front of that Royals.
Whimsical. Get out of here. You're like a parade and you're like playing, you know, like Kendrick or something. They're like, all right, cool. This is cool.
You're playing music. Kendrick. That's in great. A parade, yes.
Yeah, something. Give me something. Nobody's listening to that dumb song. I know we're in New Orleans. We're not supposed to say that, but any kind of parade song,
it's
terrible.
All
any kind of marching band walking in a parade. What are we doing?
It's wonderful.
This is dumb.
Okay, I needed to do that before I explode. Headline.
Da 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 da.
NFL Referees Association calls, quote, conspiracy theories, don't put it in quotes, calls conspiracy theories both insulting and preposterous. How can you be insulted? How can you be insulted? What am I going to bring up again for the 500th time where they did whatever they wanted and didn't make calls by the letter of the law?
Pass interference.
Yep.
Yeah.
81 challenges in 2019 on pass interference. A true 50-50 play. They overturned 13. You did that. I'm not saying it was a conspiracy, but that was insulting. The bosses said, this is reviewable. Nope, we're not going to do it. We're not going to overturn
we'll pass.
It. Yeah. You just make your own rules. And now it's like, oh, we were insulted. Can we just make the game better? Allow technology in. I'm sorry if the chain gang can set up the lunch for all you guys. You know, no one needs to be fired. Okay? More guys who handle the football. The conspiracy stuff is stupid.
But
they've opened the door.
They have. But, I mean, I'm not getting mad because I get why they're upset about this. And I noticed.
You love officials. You and Joey Crawford.
I hate them. Travis Kelce yesterday. Travis Kelce is his actual name. Was asked if he had one, like, he's like, I think the question was, you're getting all these questions today for an hour. What if you got to ask one question back to the media? And he actually kind of thought about it, and he stopped, and he said, I get why, you know, fans or goofs on social media are talking about a conspiracy and the officiating. Why are you in the media doing it? And I thought that was a fantastic point by him. Like, that's where it becomes an issue. And I saw.
But here's the question to fire back at him. Like, Kels, what's the media now? There's all different layers, and I get annoyed on that. Like, why don't you designate? There's different. I'm not saying everyone who's paid media has been clear of saying they feel like it's conspiratorial. But a lot of the people who throw that stuff out there are not. They don't have jobs.
Well,
they're creators. It's cool, and they probably make more money than we do. But there's no. You don't have to answer anyone.
Yeah, I thought the. And I'd have to go back and look at the wording.
There's no accountability.
The Adam Schefter tweet was pretty gross to me.
I think you guys read way too much into that. And honestly, I just think that was Nick Wright doing his bit.
And I also...
And he did the same bit with Josh Allen versus Patrick Mahomes. And
I also thought...
He can do that, and I'm not, I don't feel sorry for Adam Schefter.
But I saw a beat writer today who somebody else had posted a story that was like, one more game, you know, one more drive, one more big first down, whatever, and the, you know, one more ring for the Chiefs. Like, that's how they're going to get it. And he just quote tweeted like, one more call. Like, okay, what are we doing?
It's the joke that won't die.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, and it's also, again, if you cherry pick like the last couple of games, the numbers say the Chiefs have been favored somewhat in officiating. If you look over their entire run here at the top, they have been the victims of some really bad officiating and really skewed the opposite way.
Here's something simple. Someone from the crew, obviously it would be the head of the crew, someone from every crew needs to speak to, maybe it doesn't have to be one reporter, multiple reporters. Let's have some accountability after the games. Explain your calls. If there's, there might be nothing.
That.
But I know Florio's all over this. That was on PFT. He wrote the story. Florio was really annoyed after the was it the Bills and Chiefs or another game, where no one asked to speak to the official. It was Bills Chiefs. No one asked to speak to, have a pool reporter speak to an official. So they never talked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
should be a requirement,
and that's on.
Should have to make a request,
and I don't know who's working.
We have to stay longer. You make $210,000 a year, guys. Okay, come on.
Yeah, I don't know who's working on that. I don't know who the representatives are from there. That was an oversight to not at least get the opinion. I honestly think it should kind of be after a standard thing after every game. There's always calls that are controversial. There's always calls that are interesting. Even if there's not, like, there's things you can ask them about and talk to them about. They should be on. And, yeah, it should be, like, out there. It's so guarded now. They don't say anything. There's, like, you can 95% of the time, you can give the referee's quote before you actually talk to them. Like, 95% of the time.
Yep.
And that's an issue.
They're doing it to themselves.
Of course.
You're opening the door. Yes, we realize it is mostly just ridiculous. But you know what? Until they fix it, you know what I'm betting? And I've already got a couple bets down. Referee props for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you can't do them in Vegas.
I can do them somewhere.
No, I know, but it's...
I'll give you the numbers.
You know, there's part of the reason why...
referee props.
You know, why it's up there. It came up in the my proposed prop that got shot down at the Westgate.
What was it?
I wanted them to put up, will there be a team touchdown? Which would mostly be the result of, you know, when they threatened the last game to award a touchdown. Be credited as a team touchdown. It also could have come up with the Mike Tomlin situation a few years ago where he was on the sideline, the Steelers had a kick return, they were in the clear, and he appeared to trip the kick returner. They didn't award a touchdown either. They could have. But, like, those are the kind of situations where it would come up.
Did you actually get to odds on this?
No, I think that was one of the issues. So, but what
it's
they responded
be so freaking high. I mean, they would set it much lower than the real odds, and those of us who were stupid like me would still bet it.
Sure. There's
odds,
two problems.
Though.
Two problems. One, referee bets are not allowed. But I said that's why you phrase it. Will there be a team touchdown? Because that does show up in a box score. It is gradable. It's not. It doesn't fall under the referee.
Still one of my favorite moments ever in the Commies and the Eagles game when they're like, if you keep jumping over the line.
Yeah.
We're just going to award a touchdown.
Fantastic.
Like, well, then get him to start doing the hard call. He's trying
to
get it.
I loved that. And I also, well, and you do it. It's something I talked about.
As a coach, I would instruct, I would be like, do it 15 times. Let's
well,
see
you're hoping at one point they call a false start. Like you jump off and they call the false start,
right.
And you're not being penalized for it at all.
Yeah.
That's kind of why the rule is in place, because there's literally no penalty to going offsides. If you went offsides 100 times in a row, they just keep moving the ball a fraction of a centimeter.
I did have a listener who was, like, really fired up about it on Instagram and said, you're being stupid. Eventually, they'd move the ball across the goal line. I'm like, no, they wouldn't.
No, do you not know how math works? It's half.
But the football's too long once it gets close. That was his logic.
No, it's half.
I'm just telling you what the message I got.
It's the, man, obscure reference from one of my favorite movies ever, but it's a... It was Bernie Mac negotiating in Bad Santa, and they're like, "We'll give you 10%, half, 20%, half." It just keeps saying half. They just keep moving half the distance.
Ref props. Will any touchdown be overturned by replay? No is minus 250. Longest PI penalty, yardage, over under 37.5 yards. Will there be a roughing the passer penalty called in the game? Yes, minus 180. Which team will have the most roughing the passer penalties called against? I mean, clearly the Eagles need to be a massive favorite.
No.
Minus 160.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they actually did make it a massive favorite, I will be betting.
You'll be betting the
plus? I'll be betting it. Yeah. It's
give me your money.
The narrative, okay.
During the break, give me your money and let's get some money down here.
Give me like plus 200.
You love it. Oh, you want better odds? All right, we'll shop the numbers.
Okay.
Shop the numbers. Cofield and Company, halfway point of today's show, Media Row. This hour is brought to you by Battleborne Injury Lawyer, 766-1400. Call from anywhere in Nevada.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
You gave us a quick recap, Adam Hill, the other day of the commission's address that was yesterday. And officiating was a big part of it. We'll get to some updates on TB12, owner of the Raiders. President in our name only. That's coming up. Another note that I thought was interesting is he was asked about, I'm going to frame the question incorrectly here, the exact question, but he was asked about DEI and if the NFL would end the Rooney Rule.
He was asked about the majority, by far the most questions were DEI and DEI related subjects, about, you know, you've been so strong in your initiatives and now that some companies are rolling back, will you? And he said no. And also was asked, what I thought was interesting about, hey, a lot of your corporate sponsors are rolling back the initiative, so what good does it do if you don't, if you continue to do business with them? And Goodell very expertly brushed that one off.
Yeah. He's gotten a lot. He has gotten a lot better.
We're not responsible for what other companies do,
right?
Which is interesting. But yeah, he definitely, you know, firmly approved of you know, or you know, firmly backed continuing their initiatives. And I think he made an interesting point, which is definitely true. Like he said, you're not even necessarily continuing it for the benefit of those people. It's more, and I mean, you know, as in, you know, the people that would be impacted by such a program. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself. It's almost selfish. Like, you're trying to make the product better. The more minds and the more, you know, different people that come in, the better it is for you.
He said, quote, "We're not in this because it's a trend. It's about attracting the best talents. I think we'll continue those efforts."
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
How do you fight that?
You shouldn't. People will.
Well, I think people are going to run with this one. You know their signage, end racism
in the end zone,
not going to exist for the Super Bowl. Now, I think people are going to run with it. Like, well, it's because I didn't even realize this. No sitting president has gone to a Super Bowl to watch the game.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so DJT is going to be the first guy. They're not first president. They're not. What's wrong?
No, I'm thinking if a certain very outspoken critic of his will then choose not to attend.
Who's that?
Taylor.
Oh, Swift. Taylor. You're hilarious with her.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, the end racism is going to be replaced for or with some relief efforts with recent disasters around the country.
That's
so
fine.
You know people are going to run with it.
Sure.
Like, it's because he's there. It's not. That's not why they're making the change.
I mean, yeah. People in general are pretty dumb.
Raising money can be a good thing.
Yes. Well, if it's going to the right places, which it sounds like it is in this case.
Yes. You already know the week's gotten too long if we're concentrating on that kind of stuff. The DEI question, I think, is great. Because obviously there's going to be a lot of changes at a lot of companies. And I, that actually was a good question about, hey, why associate? Basically, it's like, hey, why don't you? So, like, really make a statement. Make a statement. Yeah. Don't do business with those companies. Yeah. And, you know, he's like,
that's the statement that'll really.
The hell we're going to drop our sponsors. They back us for so much money.
So, do you support the initiatives or not? Really, is the.
Well, I'll get you an update, by the way, on something related a little later on in the grab bag with Dana White with more convos about Bryce Mitchell and free speech, bro. Coming up a little later on, I also want to get into what's going on with Johnny Gruden. People are trying to tie him to the Saints in some form or fashion. Cofield and Company, Radio Row, Super Bowl 59. Sammy P on the way.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill.
Viva Las Vegas!
Only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Sammy P. For BetQL, is up with Cofield and Company. What's going on, Sam? Ah, damn it. I was so loving my intro. I was just telling you about one of the highlights of last night. We got to pull this audio later on. One of the highlights of last night was someone asking both Kelce, and Mahomes referee-related questions at the opening night.
I was not around for those. I was actually kind of thankful. I mentioned earlier I was pretty thankful for all the attention on Patrick and Travis because it did enable me to get in a question to Andy Reid, which I needed to do for work. Not that many people are around Andy Reid. He's obviously... You know, skilled at this, pretty funny guy, having a good time up there. But yeah, while there was, I would estimate like 75 cameras around Travis Kelce, there was like 12 around Andy Reid or whatever there.
Reporter to Patrick Mahomes, quote, for your whole career, you've had so many great people help you win. So who is your favorite ref? And he said, that's hilarious, did not laugh. And then said,
good one.
Nah, all the refs are great.
Why don't you do the voice?
I'm here. I have to. That's my entry into that voice.
That's actually a Kermit voice, not a Mahomes.
I really am going. I'm over Kermiting Kermit Mahomes.
Yeah, you are.
Sammy P is with us. Sam.
I bet Kermit to throw an interception. What do we think about that?
Yes, let's do it. There should be an offshore prop. Somewhere about like Kermit doll appearance, something. Mention of Kermit. I think it would be a gigantic plus on the yes. Don't think Kermit. God, that would be dynamite, though.
Brady's not doing it.
Wouldn't that be great?
All he's allowed to.
I think real Brady would do it, but announcer Brady won't do it.
No.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Between the entertainment props and then all of the props. This has to be a record of what you can bet. I'm not asking you to, you know, give us the 9,984 options, but how nuts is the amount of prop options?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up because I just wrote a story about this for Fox. I probably have gone through about 2,000 props in the last 8 days or so.
Good for you, man.
That's a lot. I mean, people think that's not a lot. It's a lot of props and markets and all that, and I put together my favorite 10, just a couple that I really like this year. I mean, they're getting more and more creative in Vegas, which I always applaud. You know, for DraftKings and FanDuel and MGM, they put up every prop on every player, like yardage and touchdowns and all that. And that's fine. But in Vegas, you still get the creative props, like, you know, the head-to-head stuff and the cross-sport props. And Circa, for example, put up a prop, a big boy market prop, on whether or not a player will score a touchdown that weighs over 300 pounds. I love stuff like that. And there's a yes and a no, which is even better because a lot of these markets in the American shops don't have yes and no. You know, they're one-way markets. But Circa has yes 25-1 and the no's minus 10,000. So you get to the best number, and Benson and I were texting yesterday about some of the props. I love that. And it also, like, pays respect to the fridge, who scored famously back in Super Bowl 20. You know, he was like 335 pounds for the 85 Bears. He gets that rushing touchdown. But those are the markets you get in Vegas. You don't get a lot of that at a lot of these places. Now, you get watered-down stuff at low limits, and everybody's got the same stuff, but, you know, Circa, South Point, Golden Nugget, Westgate, like, they're still very creative, and I do applaud that stuff as somebody that can't bet it because I'm all the way out here in Boston.
Can I guess? I'm not taking a critique. I'm just asking this because I love the wording of props more than anything in the world. You said it's will somebody score a touchdown that weighs over 300? It has to be listed as will somebody that scores a touchdown that is listed at over 300, right?
I didn't check the fine print, but you know what? You bring up a very, very valid point. Whenever you make a bet, especially if you're betting offshore, check the house rules, because I have seen the anthem prop, which, of course, you can't bet in Vegas. How long will the anthem be? I have seen the anthem prop offshore and in Canada multiple ways. The first version is the whole anthem, start to finish, first musical note to the end. However, some places have first spoken word to last spoken word, words only. So whatever prop you bet, I know you were being a little facetious there, Adam, but you got to check the language on the prop and be sure of what you have before you get that paper ticket or you get that e-ticket, because the language really does define what you have, and you have to be careful with all this stuff.
No, it's not even facetious. It's probably more hardcore than people care about, but that's usually my thing on everything. But I hear all these things all the time of, oh, you can bet this, or you can bet this, or I think they should make this bettable. And you're like, okay, you need to understand how would that be written so that it's actually provable, verifiable, and there's a way to determine it. That's why mostly in Vegas, everything has to be able to be determined by the box score. Like, it has to be something that's in the box score that can allow you to make a bet on something, because that's provable and it's tangible, and this is what the rule is. And to your point, like, rules can be different everywhere, but make sure you read the rule and understand what the rule is going into it. And the more we have people trying to come up with exotic things, which I do love, and I know you do too, but you've got, these places have to be very careful about how they're written, because you can get into, you know, a lot of just going back and forth about what words are.
My guess would be that Circa, and I don't want to speak for Circa, but my guess would be they're going off the roster on NFL.com,
right,
for the Eagles and the Chiefs. Like, obviously, we both know they're not going to weigh Jalen Carter after he scores a touchdown. The refs aren't going to pull him aside and have him step on a scale. So, I mean, and he comes in, by the way, at 314, and I think he's every biscuit north of 300, if you know what I mean. But that has to be the way it is. But if you have any questions, and, you know, Adam and I are kind of going back and forth here, but we're dead serious. If you're going to make a bet on anything Super Bowl related, just make sure you understand all the T's and I's and X's and O's of the bets you make, because if you read the language wrong, these books are not going to feel bad for you. They stick to the letter of the law and the letter of their house.
Sammy P, BetQL up with Cofield & Company. If a team races out to a lead and then there is a dramatic comeback victory, you can actually bet that, right?
Yeah, that's a prop out here in Boston. So they have a number on, will a team be down 14 or more and come back and win the game? And the yes is about 8-1. And I was texting with Mo Pearson about this. He works, of course, for the Wynn, which still operates on Encore Boston Harbor. And that's one that, look, I think is worth maybe a little pizza money. The yes is 770, plus 770. The no is minus 2,000. Will either team trail by 14 and come back to win? I said, Mo, of course you open this up in Boston, because they won't shut the hell up about 28-3 back when the Patriots played the Falcons. But that's a market where I would bet it very small, and I would only bet the yes. I'm not laying minus 2,000 that a team can't come back from down 14.
Adam, do you want to bet Taylor Swift being shown during the national anthem? You get a juicy plus 350 on the yes.
I would have before, you know, recent announcements of other people that are going to be there.
Sam, the recent announcement is Adam thinks that Taylor Swift would what? No show?
No. I'm saying I think that they'd show the president before they would show her.
Well, that's not a bet.
No, but I'm saying I think whatever cutaway you're going to have to somebody in a suite.
Okay.
That would be the one.
Oh, so she had a better chance. What do you think of that, Sam? That's some hardcore handicapping.
The anthem isn't about her. It's not. So I agree with Adam. Like, I don't think they show her during the anthem. And, you know, this is an offshore prop, but it will be very, very prominent in a lot of these prop packets. If you go to a Super Bowl party, some parties have, like, a list of things to fill out. And this will be on there for sure. And I think a lot of people at the party will say, yes, they will show her. But the betting market says they absolutely will not show her. How about this? I didn't put this on my story, but there's a prop floating around. I think this is in Canada. How many planes will be in the flyover during the anthem? Ooh. And I didn't have a take on this earlier, but we had a guest on today who said, think about it. Think about Trump. You know he's going to want like 12 planes in that flyover. I thought that's actually pretty funny. Like, all the planes, he goes, maybe a tank on the field. And I'm like, all right, well, I don't know about all that. But the number on planes in the flyover is 5.5 over under.
I don't know, man. There was like a tank on Bourbon Street last night, so maybe.
Hanging out here, that's a militarized zone. It's great. It's great. You are not a Noah Gray stan. You're actually going the opposite way.
I don't believe the Super Bowl. Yeah, I don't think the big game is going to be decided by Noah Gray. And if you pay close attention. Yeah, I know. But he's getting some money. People are betting him to score a touchdown and betting him to get two catches. And I would not be betting on guys like that in the Super Bowl. And, you know, his over-under on yards is 12.5. I like the under a lot. He didn't even get a target against Buffalo in the AFC title game. And suddenly we believe that he's going to be the secret weapon against Philadelphia. I'm just not there. I like him under on catches and under on yards. If you're looking for tight end action, I do like Dallas Goedert to score. He's like 3-1 or higher, 3.25. He's a big matchup problem for Kansas City's defense.
I'm out. He said yesterday he had never heard of Taylor Swift.
Who?
Goddard.
Oh, I like him even more then. Good.
I have a good memory, and I remember someone betting a bunch of head-to-head Super Bowl matchups and results. You were that person. Eagles over Chiefs. Eagles over
Chiefs.
Yeah,
I got super lucky there to act like that was like this grand handicap.
Brilliant.
The reason was back in August, I loved Philly in a bounce back year, and I thought with Barkley their offense was going to be insane, and it was. And Vic Fangio, who was an outstanding coordinator in Chicago, San Francisco, Miami, he's not a head coach, but he's a very good coordinator, and he fixed that defense in 1 year. And you know, I still think, man, I think, you know, if you line these teams up, Philly has the better offensive, defensive line, better running game. The other side has the better coaching staff and the better quarterback. We will see who wins. I hope it's the Eagles, but to sit here and act like the Chiefs can't win would be silly.
One last one in about a minute here. They come out of the gates a little bit slow in terms of scoring.
Both teams? So. You notice they knocked this number down, Steve. It used to be 10. Some years it was 10.5 in some of the Patriots seasons. You know, these offenses are good, but I think with the rust and the defensive adjustments, not to mention the lack of first quarter urgency, teams are a lot more aggressive in the second and fourth quarter. It's 9.5 across Vegas, first quarter total. I think we're in for a 3-0, 7-0. You know, something like that. Maybe help. 0-0 will be fine, too. But I don't think we get to 10 or more in the first quarter.
10 entertaining prop bets for Sunday's big game. Sammy P at Fox Sports. Fine work, my friend. Fine work. What do you do on Super Bowl Sunday in terms of partying? Are you watching the game intently? You know what all your bets are? You're getting a little loopy. How do you approach it?
I'm taking it like an older man, like a much fonder man. I'm watching the game at home, but I will be loose in Vegas for the first week of March Madness. I hope to see you guys there.
I'll be loose, running the streets.
Get it.
The Wolfpack is back. If I'm there. I'm actually not part of your Wolfpack. You have a big Wolfpack in Vegas.
See you at Oasis.
I'll see you there, buddy.
There he is. Thanks, Sam.
See ya.
Sam Penyadovich. Hard fade. That was it. You're out. BetQL. BetQL is where to watch all the videos, get the information, and then he does write for Fox Sports. Really good. We left out some really good props that he has listed here. 5 o'clock hours on the way. We'll talk some golf and gambling.